No, Major, I'm going to ask you to read these into the record.
Sure.
I think you can probably make more sense of it than I can, at least a lot faster. Thank you.
So for a 2009 Crown Vic on an alternator, part number 11432, Action had a price of $178.54. At Advance, part number 11432, same part number, Advance had a price of $239.19. For, again, a Crown Vic, for a starter motor, part number 3221, Action had a price of $69.11. Advance, part number 3221, had a price of $101.19. For a Monroe Shock, part number 550018, Action had a price of $34.61. Advance had a price of $52.69. I have three other vehicles. Do you want those read in as well?
Please.
For a 2012 Taurus, for an alternator, part number 11273, Action had a price of $120.24. For CarQuest, Advance, part number 11273, they had a price of $137.99. For a starter motor, from Action, price was $137.55. From Advance, the starter motor had a price of $141.67. For the shock absorber, part number 5648, Action had a price of $52.36. Advance had a price, part number 5648, of $79.89.
Okay, thank you for that, Major, and thank you for the due diligence on getting those comparisons for us. In the future, I would ask that you be sure that you submit that in with the bid. I had to go through this exercise because it certainly isn't impossible. It wouldn't be a surprise if people were to pick up the phone and contact us and ask us, well, what do you have? You know, what was in front of you? And I'm not doubting what you said or certainly your word or anything of that nature, but we always are being held accountable. And that's why we need to make sure that we have the information in front of us if we do, in fact, have questions on it. So it's in the record. We have those comparative pots. We have those comparative prices. I think the point has been made. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none. Sir, please come to the podium.
Hi, folks. My name is Hank Mode.
Sir, the acoustics are terrible, so I'm going to ask you to keep... That's better. Just keep that mic close. State your name again, please.
My name's Hank Glode. I'm the general manager for Napa Auto Parts.
Your name is Hank. Spell the last name.
Glode, G-L-O-D-E.
Say it again.
G-L-O-D-E.
Okay.
GM for Napa Auto Parts, which is a stone's throw from this building, if you didn't know. That's one of our 17 stores, and I do the bids. And on the bid, a couple questions, and I'll just throw it out there. On page one, okay, it's asking for prices.
We don't have a page one.
Well,
in
just,
our book.
I'll give you a quick oversight. It's asking for a list price, net price, and a discount for all different parts. Well, the parts are different for different vehicles, as we know, okay? So I listed just the discounts that we give, much like Action Auto Parts did on the second page when they asked for specific vehicles for brake parts. I listed on that second page the list price, the net price, and the discount, where Action listed just the discounts like I did on page one. When you list just the discount for a specific part, I mean, a discount off of what? You can make up the list price. So I could do that too, but mine's all legit. So several weeks ago, I came over when the bids were open. I was the only one there, and I was able to look at all the bids. And I felt as though myself from Napa, O'Reilly's, and Advance were contenders, and I didn't think action was, because when on that page two, they didn't fill it all completely. They just put the discount. So I'm just wondering, you know, why we weren't even considered. The only other thing I'll mention is when I did the bid in 2017, it was a little bit different. Back then, you awarded the bid to several vendors, which to me makes sense. Why put all your eggs in one basket? It gives the highway department as well as the police department, you know, able to call and get a price. Or what if Action doesn't have something? They need to get it. They need to get the vehicle repaired. So that's the way it was for years. And I guess in 2018 it changed because I didn't get the bid in 18 and now I didn't get the bid again. I'm just wondering, you know, maybe you folks should consider putting more than one vendor on that list. You know, just they back in 2017, I want to say there was probably six or seven vendors for the highway department as well as four or five for the police department. And, you know, we all got our share. So as far as where I'm going with this is I just don't think, you know, the bid was looked at the way it should have been. You know, to say mine was incomplete, if mine was incomplete, so was an Action, because he did on page two what I did on page one, if that makes any sense. You don't have that in front of you. I understand that. But if possible, I'd like someone to take another look at it.
Well, let me have the major speak to your pricing concerns, but I'll speak to the issue of the change. And that is true. We did make those changes. It was actually before 2018. Those changes have been coming about since 2016. And one of the reasons is because the reply to the question was, or many, oftentimes, the question received this reply, because that's the way we've always done it. And it didn't make sense then, and it doesn't make sense now. And the way it was always done was award a bid to someone that has a higher discount than someone else with no clue as to what your list price was. There was no basis. There was no benchmark. This is the benchmark. And regarding multiple vendors, we have not found it to be beneficial to the taxpayers to award a bid in most instances to multiple vendors. We have done so for certain items, and we've done so recently for certain items. And that was also one of the objections that in your particular industry that I received from probably three or four auto parts stores that I visited and asked them why they weren't bidding. And the answer was because you end up giving the bid out to three or four different people. I happen to be the low bid on a spark plug, you know, because it's a loss leader, and that's all I get, and I get nothing else. With respect to your question on the list price, you had said I could put down any list price that I wanted to and then list my discount. True. One of the things that I learned by visiting various auto parts supply stores is there could be as many as three list prices in one store: the manufacturer's list price, the store's list price, and the walk-in price. So it's up to you as the GM or as the proprietor to determine what your list price is and then what you want to offer the city as a discount. We don't care what your list price is in terms of it could be $1,000 right. For a $2 item. If your discount is 98%, we're good. Mm-hmm. So it's up to you to determine what you feel is your list price and then put down what your discount is. And that is the only way that we will consider these bids, is we need to have something of substance to compare to. Now, I'd like to hear from the major with Mr. Glode's comments that his bid was rejected, but yet his format was the same. This is his contention, that his format was the same as Action Auto and the other one.
Yep, for the most part, he's entirely correct. So what I did was look at that page two first.
Please?
I looked at page two of the pricing first, which was the sheet that he filled out, the sheet that A couple other vendors filled out. So it's calipers, brake rotors, brake pads, essentially, for the different vehicles that we have. So between Action, Advance, and NAPA, I don't remember the exact number, but as far as the pricing on those, it's like $765. There were 18 total items. It was Advance, it was NAPA, and then it was Action. But because those were so close together, then I went to the first page to start comparing items. Action and Advance had given me the online pricing catalog where I could go through those two catalogs. NAPA did not give me a pricing catalog. So that's why I wasn't able to go further reviewing the page one items with his items.
So you had no way to clarify.
Right. His first page had the percentages like the other ones did, but the other ones also included the full catalog, so I could look it up.
So they gave you the full catalog.
I would have needed that, then I could compare apples and apples.
But NAPA did not provide that to you?
No.
Okay.
But he is correct on that first page, mm-hmm. but they were close together. They were all within, two parts, and it was Advance, NAPA, and then mm-hmm. Action as far as being the lowest bidder on a particular item, but because they were so close, I figured I needed to do a little bit more research.
Okay, that clears it up for me. But to take it a step further, partly for Mr. Glow's benefit in the future and any other vendors, initially when this finance committee sent this item or one of these items back out for a bid requesting all these list prices, and I'm pretty sure it began on pots, I can remember some folks in the former administration saying they'll never get any bids, nobody's going to bid, nobody's going to provide them with the list prices on all these items, it ain't never happening. And if I remember correctly, I think we actually increased the count on those new bids. I think it was 11 bids that we had received, which was much greater than what we had before. And we had a much more competitive situation. And we certainly had something that was fair and equitable because the benchmark was there. It was established with the list price. And I know I have no intentions of changing my feelings on this or my position on this, how we do this, because that is the only fair way for all the vendors. You can have whatever your list price is. Whatever you need for list price is fine. Whatever you want for a discount, that's cool. The net price is what we're concerned with here. So it's very important that the vendors realize that you need to submit it on a CD, a catalog, a thumb drive, whatever you need to do, because believe me, it's we are always looking to support our Warwick businesses, and we're always very anxious to have our Warwick businesses bid successfully on whatever it is that we happen to be working on. But we have set protocol, we have set policy and procedure, and it's been beneficial to the taxpayers in the city, and I certainly believe that that's the way we're going to continue with it. So when this bid comes back out again, Mr. Glode, or other items that perhaps can go through your industry, what you deal in, it would probably be beneficial to reach out to purchasing and make sure that you're completely understand what it is that they need to have. And for the pots, it's simple. Boom, hit the button, burn off your whole book, send it over. And then as the major did, they can start chasing it down, or they'll request what they need to do is give you 20 items of pots and say bid on it. Okay? All right. Sir, back to the mic, please.
Just so you know, both the highway department garage and the police garage, they've been set up on our online ordering system, ProLink, for probably 15 years. So they have access to that. I didn't even think about, I just figured, they could get all that information they need. They can just press a button and order parts when they want. That's the way it's always been. And they did use it before. They are set up there still currently. So that's kind of what you were looking for. So, but
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, but it didn't get to the right place.
It didn't get to this place. And this is where it needs to get, because they have it. And for whatever reason, they weren't getting to it. The police department, and I'm not saying they did or they didn't. What I'm saying is that we don't get it. So it's it would behoove you to, again, contact purchasing and just make sure they have. But I also need to say this. I'm very grateful that you came before this committee in the city council to put this out there, because these are also the things that we need to hear, because we need to hear how we can do better, you know, what maybe needs to be tweaked or fixed or do something a little bit different. And if the business community doesn't come before us or reach out to us in some manner, then, you know, we may not be hearing these things. So thank you for coming to us this evening.
Two quick things to add to that. It'd be a good idea to have, I've been doing this for 42 years, believe it or not. I'm that old.
Say that again?
I've been doing this for 42 years. I'm that old. But it'd be good to have someone like me. Like when they sent the first bid out, they asked for a lot of things that just weren't there. And then I brought it to somebody's attention, so they sent an addendum, and they corrected a lot of it. But same thing when I get the other bids for batteries and stuff. So you almost should have somebody to lean on, in which I have no problem. I leave a card or something, you know. And the other question I would have is the fact that we didn't get the bid. Can't they still spend a certain amount of money if they're in a jam and they need to get some hard-to-get pot that Action can't supply? I think isn't there a number?
There is. There is. It's called, they can do it under a 56-6 if it's under a certain dollar amount, or the mayor can always issue a 3-3, which is an emergency requirement, and get
okay
a battery.
Because that's what we'll get. We'll get the calls for the hard-to-get stuff that we have, because their inventory is huge, and, you know, with 17 stores in a distribution center, and we usually can bail them out of trouble, but I just want to make sure we can still sell them some stuff.
So you get those calls from who?
From both, from the Public Works and the police department. Got one today. So
okay.
The store manager called me because he knew I was coming here. They bought some brake pads, and they didn't come with hardware, and they couldn't get the hardware. So
yeah.
Guess
okay.
Who got the hardware? Boom. $13.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you
all
for
right.
That.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for coming. Okay, any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move. Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Item 2020-170, Scott Air Pack, found on page 139.
Good evening. Jason Umbenhauer, Assistant Chief of the Fire Department.
Good evening, Chief.
The bid for Scott Air Pack X3 Pro SCBA and related equipment has been carefully reviewed by the Fire Department. One vendor submitted a bid. After evaluating pricing, the vendor is fully satisfied, has fully satisfied the specifications. Therefore, we recommend the bid be awarded to Shipman's Fire Equipment out of Waterford, Connecticut. After contacting several vendors that did not submit a bid, we are made aware that currently only one vendor is authorized by 3M Scott Health and Safety to sell Scott equipment inside the state of Rhode Island. Therefore, Scott Fire Equipment is the sole source vendor for this product. Purchase of this equipment is required for the fire department as we begin to replace our SCBA and cylinders that are approaching maximum service life in accordance with NFPA 1981. Funding for this project will be from budget 35218 SCBA cylinders, $30,000. And 35-235 firefighting supplies, $20,000. Current bid expires on 10/22/19, and if approved, the new bid will have an effective date of 10/23/19 through 10/22 of 2020 for a total amount not to exceed $50,000.
Thank you, Chief. Chief, back on August 19th, we had approved 2020-107 Scott Breathing Air Compressor Testing and Service. So that these are not related, right? That was strictly testing?
Correct. That was the compressors itself that we used to fill the SCBA bottles. And at that time, that was a 56-6. Scott's Health and Safety had told me they were at Shipman's was the only authorized vendor. Between that time, when that came up, there was some discussion with other vendors that sells Scott equipment that they may potentially be able to bid here in Rhode Island. So we were originally going to 56-6, these items that you're hearing tonight. Because there was some outstanding questions of whether or not it was more than one bidder. We went ahead with the traditional bid process. And then obviously when we got it back, we found there was only one. And then through those phone calls, the other bidders basically said we are prohibited from bidding in the state of Rhode Island due to our contract with Scott.
So, Chief, I did get your email that you sent me on October 18th. I want to thank you for that update. You stated that also the vendor did note in their proposal that they are willing to submit a very lengthy list of all pot pricing, et cetera, as requested in the bid specifications. You said that you can forward that document to you, meaning me, on Monday if you receive it. Did you receive it?
That's going to be the next bid that's up on our agenda, not this one. That's going to be
the
service bid.
Okay, that's 2021-71.
But to answer your question, no, I did not receive it from them yet as of by the time I left today, but I can definitely still get that to you. But we could discuss that in the next item if you want.
And tell us again why this bid has to go to shipments here.
So Scott Health, 3M Scott Health and Safety, who is the manufacturer of this equipment, has a contract with Shipman's, and it says that they're the only authorized vendor in the state of Rhode Island, I believe Connecticut and parts of Southern Mass, and that if any other vendor, if they were to, if they were to sell in anywhere other than their territory, that they would need authorization from 3M to do that. There was another company called American Fire Equipment who was authorized in Rhode Island. They've since gone out of business. They were bought out by Fire Tech and Safety. Fire Tech and Safety has not got that authorization to sell here in the state of Rhode Island as of today.
And there are also other vendors in Massachusetts that have this same, offer the same product and service, et cetera. I find it particularly disturbing, and I called Scott and I spoke with them, and they confirmed the fact that they only allow one company to sell this product in the state. And I find that particularly concerning because, to me, this has created a monopoly. We don't have an opportunity to get competitive pricing. I was told, well, they're always competitive and, you know, the numbers are always good and all that stuff. Well, guess what? If I don't have a competitor, tell you what, that changes things. Because when you don't have competition, I don't see us or the taxpayers as being in the line of benefits here because it's only one vendor. And we're not talking, you know, little nickels and dimes here. We're talking about some significant amounts of monies. And I'm questioning whether or not this is something that is even permissible. The fact that we only have one option and we must buy from this vendor. We must buy from Shipman. And then I would question why. And this has been going on, I would assume, for quite some time now, right, where Shipman has a monopoly on this for quite a long time. I would question why we haven't changed product then. Why haven't we gone to something else where we can get a more competitive atmosphere on behalf of the taxpayers? Why are we just staying here and being controlled by one manufacturer that says we're only letting one person bid in Rhode Island? That is not a bid. That's a no-bid contract, in my opinion. That's what we have here, is a no-bid contract. It is not competitive, and it certainly isn't in the best interest of the taxpayers, because I, for one, don't know if the numbers they're giving us are the best numbers, because we don't have any other numbers. We don't have any other bidder. And this Scott company, whoever they happen to be, they're saying, yep, and that's what they told me this morning. I talked to them again this morning. And that's what they said. That is right. We're only letting one person, one company bid on this item in the state of Rhode Island. I know I intend to pursue that. I intend to pursue that on behalf of the taxpayers, because I think that is really bizarre. When there's other companies right across the state line that do and offer the same thing, but yet we don't have the ability to reach out to them and say, hey, listen, you know what, give us a bid.
I have the same frustrations. I've been 4 months of back and forth between vendors trying to square this away, and it doesn't seem right to me. That's why I argued and argue with vendors. Like, somebody has to be able to bid on this. We have to be able to piggyback a Massachusetts MPA or something, but we can't. I have asked the vendor if we could use Mass MPA pricing, and they said they can't offer that because we're not in Massachusetts.
They say they can't offer that.
They can't offer us, yeah, Massachusetts MPA pricing.
Well, I'm glad to hear that the fire department is sharing the same frustration.
Very frustrating.
As I have, because, you know, I'm plenty willing to work with you on venting some of this frustration. So, Chief, have you looked into an alternative product? Is it something different that we can go to that we're not going to be strong-armed?
So we have to keep it consistent, and we've got 80 of these air packs out there right now, and bottles and all the related accessories. They were all purchased on a federal grant back in 2010, 2011.
How much? Well, how much?
About $500,000.
$500,000 for 80 of them? It was $500,000.
$80 of them. Correct.
And that's I would wish I was the only vendor for that. Yeah, that's beautiful.
So we'll be due to replace these. We're guesstimating it's three versions of the standard cycle. So once they're outdated, three different revisions of the NFPA standard, then they're due for replacement, which they're guesstimating is going to happen around 2023. Of course, my grant committee has already said that they're going to be in full force trying to get a grant to purchase those as they did in 2010 to replace them. But I definitely am going to recommend to them that we look at outside of Scott, if possible. And at least compare the other vendors and see if the other vendors have the same situation that Scott does. I don't know if the other products have the same problem with one single vendor in the state of Rhode Island. We have not looked that far. We don't have $500,000 to replace across the board.
So, but you said you got this on a grant, right? Back in 2011.
Correct.
This was a grant, right? So how about if we apply for another grant?
We will. That's what I said. The grant committee, before 2023 approaches, they are fully on board of looking for a grant to replace it. And we will be looking at more than just Scott when that.
Why can't we do it before 2023?
Well, these air packs are going to be good until 2023 at minimum.
All 80 of them?
I would not request to replace these until we need to replace them.
So all 80 of them are going to be good until 2023?
No, enough of them that are frontline units. We only have about 56 that are frontline units. The others are spare and older dated ones that we use for training and those type of exercises.
So how many are you looking to purchase now?
Right now, we're not looking to purchase any of the air packs themselves. This is mostly going to be bottles, which are coming up on end of life. That's okay. The $30,000 to replace cylinders. That's something that consistently has to be replaced. And then we have to replace a lot of the masks. Everybody's got an individualized mask, and we get those start to get worn and need to be replaced. That's the other $20,000 of this. We don't anticipate buying any actual item number one SCBA. But we need a bid in place in case we do need to purchase one in an emergency.
And when, if this is approved, when do you plan on making this purchase?
Probably, we usually do our gear and SCBA inspections right at the beginning of the calendar year. So soon after that, once we recognize who needs replacement masks and replacement parts for the SCBA, most likely it'll be early 2020.
So you're not going to do anything about this until sometime in 2020?
Most likely, no. We won't be purchasing off of this until 2020.
So, Chief, if I were to make a motion to hold this for a bit, that wouldn't be a big whoop-de-doo to you, right?
Not a problem here.
Give us an opportunity to, maybe scratch the dirt a little bit.
Sure.
Not a problem for you?
Not a problem with me.
Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, PCR 164... I'm sorry, 165-19. I need a motion for unfavorable action. I'm sorry, hold. Sorry. I was getting ahead of myself, Chief. Sorry. November 18th? Hold till November 18th.
Motion to hold November 18th.
Seconded.
We have a motion to hold. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Chief. Yes. So, Chief, on 2020-171, we essentially get the same issue, right?
Yeah, this is the service and testing of those same packs with the same issues, sole source vendor.
Sole source, okay.
3M.
PCR 166, 19. Any questions from members of the committee?
Yes, sir.
Sir.
And this is the same. I know that the chairman asked the last time. This is okay if we hold this, like you have enough on supply of everything you need?
I wouldn't hold it past December. This doesn't expire actually until December 15th. This one's actually within the 2 month window for the first one of more to come.
Okay.
So we have time. I do need to get this testing done around the end of the year, early beginning of next year, as required by the standard. But to hold it for the next 2 months is fine. Yes. I still have a current contract in place until December.
So as the chairman recommended, the last one, November 18th, is a good few?
That's fine.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Okay, any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, need a motion to hold till November 18th.
Motion to hold November 18th.
Seconded.
We have a motion to hold. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
/2020-172, and that is found on page 147. Chief?
Bid for FLIR K53 thermal imaging cameras and related accessories has been reviewed by the fire department. Five vendors submitted bids. After evaluating pricing, vendor that fully satisfied the specifications and had proposed the lowest price, we recommend Harrison Schrader Enterprises from Lewiston, Maine. This past summer, the grant writing committee of the fire department applied for and successfully awarded the maximum donation of $25,000 from Firehouse Subs for five thermal imaging cameras. We've received those donated cameras and are requesting this award to purchase an additional four cameras in order to equip all frontline fire apparatus with this thermal imaging technology. The cameras are a vital tool that assists the firefighting crews in locating trapped victims and fire in heavy smoke conditions. Funding for this product will be budget code 35235, firefighting supplies, with $10,000 being allocated from fiscal year 20 and $10,000 from fiscal year 2021. There are currently not a bid for this equipment, and if approved, the new bid will be effective for 1 year from the awarding of the bid, not to exceed a total of $20,000.
Chief, I'm curious. You've got a grant for $25,000. And you're looking to purchase four of these, which is just a little under $20,000, right? They're like $4,768.50
Correct.
Each. So why aren't you looking to use the grant and buy five of them?
The grant from Firehouse Subs doesn't give us money. It gives us donated equipment. So the maximum we can do every 4 years from Firehouse Subs, which is new to Cranston, and they just opened a location in Cranston. We immediately applied for their grants. They say that you get up to $25,000 worth of equipment, and they buy the equipment and donate it to us. We don't go through purchasing.
Okay.
They obviously paid a little bit more than we did for those cameras.
Okay, so it's not like you're going to spend $20,000 on four of these and there's $5,000 left floating around somewhere.
No, we already have five in our possession.
Okay.
We have nine frontline engine companies. We want to supply all nine of those companies with that exact camera so they're all consistent. They all have a frontline camera.
Okay, all right, you cleared it up. I was like wondering, where's the other $5,000 going? Okay, any questions from members of the committee? Councilman McAllister.
And again, good work on getting the grant. We love any help that we can get the grant. And these were the cameras that they were you had fire safety day. This was one of the cameras that they were using.
Correct. We did
for that.
Demo this
it's
for
very
the
impressive, and you know, it helps locate victims and that could be trapped in very smoky areas and stuff like that. Does it pick up pets as well?
It does. Anything it does. It's just body heat. So,
thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item 2020-177, found on page 151. Structural firefighting coats, pants. Chief?
Bid for structural firefighting coats and pants has been carefully reviewed by the fire department. Five vendors submitted bids. After evaluating pricing, one vendor fully satisfied our specifications and proposed the lowest price. Therefore, I recommend the bid be awarded to Fire Tech and Safety out of Tinsborough, Massachusetts. Purchase of these products is necessary for the fire department's annual replacement cycle of turnout gear, as specified by NFPA 1971. The standard requires replacement of turnout gear that does not meet inspection or testing standards of turnout gear or reaches a maximum service life of 10 years. Funding from this will come from budget code 35282, which is turnout gear. Current bid expires on 12/11 of 19, and if approved, the bid will have an effective date of 12/12/19 through 12/11/2020 for an amount not to exceed $85,000.
Chief, we have three items here. We have coats, pants, and suspenders. How many coats are you looking to purchase?
With that, we're going to looking for about 37 sets of gear total, so 37 sets of coats and 37 sets of pants.
And why aren't you looking for 37 sets of suspenders?
Because they're included with the pants.
They're included with the pants.
Correct. The specification say, outlines that the suspenders come with the pants. They're a match and set. Some only one manufacturer's suspenders will work with one manufacturer's pants. So they're included with the specification. We added item three as an additional replacement. Suspenders are something that typically gets worn out pretty fast, and we replace them pretty consistently, and we need to make sure we have a bid for that specific suspender to match that pant that won the bid award. So I can't use the $31 Black Ops suspender on their on the pants of the bid the gear vendor that won the bid award for the lowest price gear.
So I did I looked into some of the warranty issues, and there is a difference between, as an example, Brigham Industries and Fire Tech and Safety in terms of the cost. But there's also a big difference in the warranty. And with Fire Tech and Safety, they have a one-year warranty. And their warranty is actually, it's in the packet. Almost impossible to read because the print is so small.
Thank you.
In addition to limiting it to 12 months, they also put a stipulation on there. They zero in pretty big time on this warranty, and they actually zero in on 750 hours of use as part of the warranty. And then they also go on for excessive usage and operation defined as greater than 85 hours per month or 1,000 hours per year. So how do you keep track of that?
We don't. So this is a generalized warranty for Fire Tech and Safety for all the equipment they sell. It's not specific to the gear. So I was also confused by this. That's why I reached out to them. And I didn't add that in my communication. I apologize. For gear, it's actually item A under their warranty. It says for PPE, it warrants all firefighter and emergency responder protective gear, equipment to applicable NFPA standards that's in effect at the time, and manufacturer further warrants that all products are free from any defects or workmanship for any patent material defect. So that is the lifetime of the material. So as long as it's a current NFPA standard gear, they will warrant that for workmanship up as for the useful life of the gear itself.
Okay, and it also states on item G, number 10, item G, says supplier must be informed of more intensive use as soon as it becomes clear that the product is likely to be used more than the indicated in the general terms. And you've indicated that the fire department doesn't keep track of those hours at all. So how would you be able to document to them that you haven't exceeded these terms?
From what I understand, we have the warranty specifications are actually outlined in the bid specifications that they have to meet those warranty standards that we sent, which was the useful life of the gear, and they did not take exception to that. I believe, from what I understand from talking with the vendor, is those other items other than A under warranty pertain to equipment, like a thermal imaging camera or a fan or some other piece of equipment they sell, not for protective gear. Protective gear is only covered under A of the warranty issues. Those would be useful life if you use the fan, you ran it 24/7, obviously they'd have an issue with the warranty. Those type of things we do keep track of are how much and how often we use the equipment that we use on fire scenes.
Okay, and one of the things it does not cover, I just need a clarification, says claims made after 60 days from the date of shipment for damage to materials. I would assume that means, you open up the box and you look at something and it's damaged. You need to notify them within 60 days from the fire department's receiving these goods, correct?
Correct.
So where they stipulate in their warranty that's attached to ours, and this is the only warranty that you included, we didn't get the other warranties from the other companies, you're telling us that their warranty is in fact a lifetime warranty.
The useful life of the gear, which means as long as it passes our inspection and testing standards, it's fine. And if there's a workmanship issue that causes it to fail the testing standards, we do that annually as per an FPA standard. If it's a workmanship issue, they'll repair it under warranty. If it's a wear and tear issue, then it's not covered under the warranty. So if the sewing comes out and the seam in a pocket, something like that, that's covered. If it's just they wore a hole in the pants or it got caught on something and ripped, clearly that wouldn't be covered. So they call it the useful life of the gear or 10 years, which is the maximum life of the gear.
So what the cost of the combined between the coat and the pants, we're looking at about $2,250, right?
Exactly.
And you're purchasing about 37 of them, so I rounded up to 40. So how does that figure out to 85,000?
I believe 37 times 2250 comes less than 85.
It's what?
I hope.
2250?
It's 2250 per set times, if we buy 37 sets, that's 83,250.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Item 2020-174, Gaspy Day Fireworks, found on page 157.
Good evening, committee.
Good evening.
Committee members, committee chair. I'd like to reiterate the use of this funding that is being used for the fireworks. It is comes solely from visitor tax imposed on tourists to the city of Warwick and collected by our hoteliers, used solely for destination promotion per General Law 42-63(3). In regards to bid number 2020-174, Gaspy Days Fireworks, event date June 6th or June 7th, should it rain, the department would like to recommend the lowest responsible bidder, Martin & Ware, Inc., DBA, Central Maine Pyrotechnics, in the amount of $6,000.
And this is all done with tourism dollars?
Correct.
Okay. And I'm going to reiterate, the questioning and sure. The exercise that we went through several years ago. So it's fair to say that you have someone who is going to be inventorying all of the goods when it comes there, make sure the canisters are what you're supposed to have, 1 inch, 2 inch, 3 inch, whatever. You got all the same amount of shots. Everything is dispersed. At the end, there's an inventory. We know we received what we paid for.
Correct.
Same procedures as
yes,
took place
you.
Over the last 7 years.
Great advice, and yes,
okay.
Councilman.
Thank
Perfect.
You. Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Move for favorable action.
For
seconded.
Ending.
I appreciate your enthusiasm, Councilman.
Wow, you really wanted that.
Yes. Also, if we could please, if you have conversations that you need to engage in, please take them out into the hallway. With the acoustics in this building, it's kind of echoey when we have side conversations going on. Thank you. Okay, so we have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
2021-001 Independence Day fireworks. The same comments.
Correct.
Your comments are the same. My comments are the same. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item 2021-002, found on page 163. Karen, same position?
Correct.
Mine's the same. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, need a motion?
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 2021-191, dumpsters, found on page 166. Christy?
Public Works is requesting to purchase 4 6-yard dumpsters from Rhode Island Container Products in the amount of $4,800 to replace dumpsters within our location. And I'm sorry, I should also add that we're actually going to pick them up. We have the means to pick them up, so we won't pay the $125 delivery.
How much?
$125 delivery fee.
Per dumpster?
Per load.
Per
so
load.
They usually bring, if depending on how many order, they can bring 2 at a time, so.
Okay, good. Chrissy, believe it or not, I don't have any questions on this one. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 2020-193, Warwick Leadership Camp, found on page 169.
Hello.
Hello. Would you please state your name for the record?
Patty Saint-Amant, Department of Human Services.
Thank you, Patty. Okay, go ahead.
I am requesting the 56-6 to pay for the transportation that was provided for the kids down to Connecticut on 3 separate occasions for the camp and also for transportation over to the Warwick Police Department back to the Cooper Building. I, in the past, had written vouchers for each of this. However, because it went over, I needed to present it and ask permission from you to pay the bill.
How long have you been doing this?
I have been doing this for...
No, not, how long has the city been doing this transportation thing here? I'm asking
for over
because...
over 18 years.
How many?
18 years. Or more.
Excuse me. Major, would you please ask them to take the conversation out back? Thank you. Thank you. Because I don't remember seeing this before.
Well, you probably hadn't. I've been here for 23 years and never had to do it this way. However, the process changed. So I've included in your packet the explanation, and I also gave you copies of the vouchers, and because they totaled $2,534.50, I was told that it had to be prepared as such, and that's what I did.
In the past, these were individual items, right? So you'd submit an invoice for this particular thing, and then you'd submit an invoice for that.
That is correct.
And because they came under the 2,500 cap?
Correct.
That you didn't come before us?
That is correct.
Okay. I'll ask to hear from, I see Brian is here from finance. I'll ask to hear from him in a minute. But something else that I noticed in reviewing this item, because it was kind of a surprise to see it, it says on 718 Cooper to Storrs, Connecticut, 725 Cooper to Storrs, Connecticut, 81, and there's three others from the police department. So when it says Cooper, I'm assuming it means the Cooper building?
That is correct.
Okay. And also assuming, given the description of what this entails, that that's strictly a pickup point. It doesn't have anything to do with the Cooper building as such or its occupancy or anything of that nature.
That is correct.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that. Okay. So I don't need to ask any more questions about that one. Brian, if you could please come to the mic.
Brian Sylvia, Finance Director.
Thank you, Brian. And just remember to keep that mic close.
Yes.
So, Brian, I'm sure you just heard the comments between the director and myself. I'm kind of surprised to see this in here anyways. And it appears as though there's been some change that's taken place. So why are these being combined into one invoice when they're two? And they're actually going to two different destinations. And it looks to me, I mean, from what I can see, it's two separate items. Why are they now combining this into one invoice and bringing that total to $2,554.50? Why isn't it being handled the way it was in the past? I need to hear what the rationale is and the reasoning for this.
Sure. I'm going to paraphrase this, and Pat, please feel free to jump in. You'll probably be able to say it. You probably do it better than paraphrase than I will. But invoices can't be separated. So if we have five invoices that total up all similar in operation, so this is, we have five bus runs, these are, and the total is going to be over our threshold of 2,500, they can't be separated to pay to avoid the bid process and to avoid this process. So the city is doing its due diligence to bring this forward in its proper means and to hopefully correct this, and this will be how you'll see it going forward.
So what you're saying is, in the future, this will have to go out for bid? These two items right here, they're over 2,500, so you're saying they're going to have to go out for bid?
In this particular case, it's going to be a sole source. It wouldn't have to go out to bid, but it would have to come before you. Anytime we find an item such as this where it's been split up, but we're still paying one vendor, in this case for a student, over $1,000, we justify that we don't have to go out to bid because they are the only ones to provide it, but it still has to come before this council. So it would come to you as a 56-6. In this particular case, it was over $2,500. I don't have the authority to approve a sole source under over 2,500 so that it came to you. So yes, in fact, it would either come to me if it was smaller than 2,500, over 2,500 would come to you. But it wouldn't have to go out to bid because it's a sole source, but it still has to come to this body either through the 56-6, which I provide you, or presenting it here.
So is this change in policy, is this as a result of these two invoices being in such close proximity of each other?
And we, Brian and I, have been working diligently to look at vouchers in a different light and make sure everything's that can possibly go through a purchase order, which has a better tracking mechanism. So between those two things, yes, that's how it came to our attention.
So there are other departments those same changes are going to be...
Oh, yeah, I have a lot of enemies.
Okay. Now, what happens... Let's assume that this one invoice for $1,618 for this transportation, let's say it occurred in, in this case, July. for $1,618. And then the next invoice, which we have in front of us for $936, let me back up. So this department submits this invoice here in July for $1,618, nothing else. That's it, the only invoice. You're going to pay it. It doesn't have to come before us.
It would come to you. It would be a 56 I would approve, which you don't get it in this format at the council meeting.
Right. You get it in the report that
correct.
I get. Okay.
If they were 900 and 6 months later it was 900 again, I would try to catch that. I can't guarantee that I would. We try the best we can. But if it's too split up in a time frame between it, we may miss that. But we do the best we can to try to catch them.
Okay, so you anticipated my next question. You know, what happens 6 months apart? So the goal is that when the spending exceeds $2,500 in a fiscal year, $1,000 in a fiscal year, that it's going to be coming before us.
It should be either a bid or 56-6 before you, yes.
Okay.
If it's like items to the same vendor, you're splitting it up, it's splitting a bid. So we try to put all like things together because we're paying that vendor that money for like items. So it's whether we buy it in split up times or...
Okay. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Councilman
I have a
Corley.
Question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll get to Donna. Sorry. I looked over that way first.
Patty, how many youngsters are involved in the program, and where do they come from? How do they...
There were Warwick students, and there were probably 100 and some, maybe 110 tops.
And this is a summer program?
That's correct.
And the students, what is the age category?
Middle school and high school.
And is it the same group of students that basically took all of the bus trips that we have the bills for now?
There were three separate camps, and so there were three separate groups of children.
There were three separate camps in Connecticut, right?
Three separate weeks.
Do you recall how many is in each one of the groups?
No, I would prefer to get you the list of the correct numbers, but 30, 35.
And all of these bus trips were taken last summer, and these bills have been outstanding since then?
Pardon me, please.
All of these trips were taken, bus trips were taken last summer?
That is correct. You have the dates.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Councilwoman Travis, we're going to need a PCR, right?
Yes, Yes, Mr. Chairman. Prior, when the Buttonwood Senior Center was open before, they used to get the transportation from the Buttonwood Senior Center, right, Patty?
Correct.
Right, Patty? Yeah, and that's why when you mentioned the Cooper Building, they're only using it for the transportation part. But I also want to mention that I'm going to abstain on this because I'm the chairperson of the Youth Program Advisory Prevention Program. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Councilwoman. Like the record indicate that Councilwoman Travis will be abstaining. This now becomes PCR 167-19. Any other questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion on PCR 167-19.
Move for favorable action. Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable action. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Patty. 2020-195, reaccreditation services. And that is found on page 175. Major?
Lori Michaelides on behalf of the Police Department. The department is seeking authorization under the provisions of 56-6 to make expenditures for annual CALEA assessment fees. If approved, these fees will be funded through code 30-340 service contracts for an amount not to exceed $10,000. CALEA is currently revising their payment schedule. They haven't provided us with an invoice for this new contract year. Last year, we paid $4,938. We would anticipate it would be around the same amount, although we're not positive at this point. These fees are required to maintain our accreditation status.
And Major, how many consecutive accreditation awards have you received?
In a couple of weeks, we'll be receiving our eighth.
Eighth consecutive.
Yes, sir.
And this is a significant benefit to the police department, to the city, to the taxpayers, for grants, for funding, et cetera, right?
Absolutely.
Good job. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item 2020-197, that is found on page 178.
The department's requesting to engage in services with Honeywell Building Solutions for the HVAC systems agreement in the amount of $15,628, period beginning October 1st, 2019 to September 30th, 2020. This does serve the, it's a sole source provider for the coverage of the HVAC components in different buildings.
Okay. Christy, I think I know the answer, but I'm going to have you clarify. So where it says reference service agreement of City Hall Annex, which annex are we talking about? This one?
Yes.
Behind us?
Yes.
Do we have a service agreement with the new Buttonwoods City Annex?
No, this is only for buildings that have the Honeywell
okay.
equipment.
And it might seem a minor point, but maybe we can come up with a clarification, because I'm certain that there's going to be other discussions about this one behind us. So maybe if we can just kind of make note that it's this one or the Buttonwoods Annex. And is there anything in this item right here, in this service agreement, is there any maintenance that's going to be done, HVAC maintenance systems, whatever, in the Cooper building?
No.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Item 2020-201, police undercover operations, found on page 186. Major?
The police department is seeking authorization under ordinance 56-6 to make expenditures for police undercover operations. This exception is to notice is requested in order not to compromise any undercover narcotics operations undertaken by the department. If approved, funding for these expenses will be funded through federal asset forfeiture and would not exceed $20,000. Vouchers would be prepared each quarter in the amount of $5,000.
Major, I think it's perfectly clear to all of us the reasons why this bid is in the format that it is and why the request is as it is. It's all due to undercover narcotics operations. End of conversation. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable
action. Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Major. Okay. Moving on. Acceptance of the minutes, there are none. PCR 160-19 resolution relative to bids. We are going to go to PCO 7-19. That is pension board. And I am going to hold that. I'm sorry? Sure.
Find it
comes
out on Friday, so.
Okay. All right. For members of the council as well as the committee, the clerk has just pointed out to us that our new binders will be going out Thursday?
Yeah.
On Friday. So there's like limited time to add or make any changes. So when you are looking or considering to hold anything, just keep that in mind so you don't get hollered at.
Thank you. I'm not saying I'm by the clerk. I'm saying by the council president. Thank you for that, Lynn. I had not really focused in on that, to tell you the truth. All right, so let's hold the pension board until November 19th. 18th, sorry.
Motion to hold November 18th.
Seconded.
Thank you. We have a motion to hold until November 18th. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. PCR 9417, formerly bid 2017-147, State of Rhode Island, Telecommunication Services. We're going to hold that. We'll hold that till November 18th, too.
Motion to hold on November 18th.
Seconded.
We have a motion to hold. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. PCR 14817, installation of sprinklers at the Cooper Building. We're going to hold that until November 18th as well.
Motion to hold November 18th.
Seconded.
Need a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. PCR 13619, overhead door repair and replacement.
This bid was held for the price list, which I had emailed to you on September 6th. So I think that would satisfy the requirement of what you were looking for. The Public Works Department is again requesting to award in the amount of $5,000.
Christy, do you have a copy of that list with you?
I don't. I have it in my email.
I'm sorry?
I have it in my email. I don't have it with me.
Okay. And that was on September 6th, right?
Yes.
Okay. Could you, I do recall getting that from you. Could you forward that to the committee as well? Okay. And were there any other bidders on this?
No.
They were the only bidder?
Yes.
And the reason that we held it is because they didn't include a itemized list of
parts.
The list price of parts?
Yes.
Along with their discount?
Yes.
Okay. And that is all in your possession as well now, obviously,
yes.
Right? Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. PCR 15119, electrical maintenance and repairs.
It was my understanding that this one was...
Christy, just state your name for the record again, please.
Christy Moretti, Public Works. It was my understanding that this was unfavorable at the last meeting and we had to go back out to bid.
Okay.
So we made a revision to the bid and sent it up to, because of the parts issue, you know, your concern was it,
right.
If they weren't bidding on the same
correct.
Thing.
Correct, so exactly.
I'm not sure why it was held.
Okay, so then... I don't know, there was obviously some confusion. So your request is we'll hold it. Is that what you're looking for?
No, the committee, it was my understanding that the committee made a motion to reject the bid and have us...
I'm sorry, you were going back out for a rebid?
Correct.
Okay. Does anyone have a note on that? I don't. I recall that because I remember the conversation. If you look in the bids we had on the pots, I'll just... review it quickly. So we had three different vendors. We had a whole bunch of pots. Not one pot matched up with the other vendor, or very few. We weren't getting fair and equitable comparatives. And because of that, so also, you were going to bring in your master electrician to speak to us, too. Director Salitro, I believe you had made that suggestion.
Because what we have here is... Public Works Director for the City of Warwick.
Okay, thank you, Matt. We did make a motion to hold, and... the reason was because of the discrepancy in the pots list.
Correct.
And get updates on that.
Correct.
And you were also, you had said that you were going to be bringing in your master electrician if we had any questions.
Councilman, that's inaccurate. I was going to talk to my electrician and get the 20 or 25 most used parts so that we could put them in the bid format that you required.
Okay. So what you just said is my statement that you were going to bring in to the council meeting your master electrician is inaccurate.
Correct.
Okay. You never said that?
No.
Okay. And do we have any new pricing for us to look at?
We went out to bid as requested by the Finance Committee. It's in the bid process right now, currently, with 20 to 25 generic items that are most commonly used. Mm-hmm. When the bids come in, we will award the bid, and we'll bring it to you before this council.
Okay, I'm going to ask to hold this, Matt, because in the notes that I have right here, it says that we voted to hold. Mm-hmm. And that you were going to, or DPW was going to bring in the master electrician. So that's disputed right now. We do have a note on this particular sheet from the council meeting saying that there was, it was a hold. It was a 5-7, a vote made by me, seconded by Councilman McAllister with a vote unanimous of the Finance Committee. So I'm going to hold this until we can get clarifications on whether this was a hold or a rebid and whether or not the electrician was going to be coming before us or not, okay?
Sure.
Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? This will now become, Madam Clerk, what's the next piece here?
It already is.
Oh, I'm sorry, we already got one. Sorry, thank you. I'm looking to hold, we're going to hold this one until November 4th. Sorry.
Motion to hold November 4th.
Seconded.
Okay, we have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Matt.